Glad to see each one of you here this morning. I'm glad to see our brother Adam here this morning after he's returned from Honduras. I'm thankful once again to have the opportunity to hear the Lord's word spoken. It's something I've really thought about this last year, something I'm endeavoring to do more of because I'm bad about it, is to be present where I'm at. Oftentimes I find myself somewhere, but my thoughts are on what I need to do tomorrow, or who I need to call next, or what I need to do. And so I've been trying to focus more on, if I'm having a conversation with somebody, that my focus is there. And I'd really thought that that was applicable for this morning. That for this time that we put off our thoughts, what we got to do tomorrow, where we got to be, what we're having for lunch, who we need to talk to, what our kids are doing, and just focus on the message of the hour. And with that, I'm going to give you our brother, Assistant Pastor Adam.
Thank you, Andy. Good morning. I want to welcome each one of you here this morning and ask that you would offer up your prayers on my behalf. I did come home from Honduras and I brought a friend with me, and I've been sick the last couple of days and my stomach is still not feeling incredibly well. The last couple of days, as I considered that I would be preaching today, I was just feeling so rotten that I hadn't spent a whole lot of time considering whether or not I would be here this morning or be able to. And so I put Andy on standby yesterday and told him I don't know if I'm going to be able to be at church. But last night, you know, I made it a matter of prayer and asked the Lord that if he had something that he wanted me to be certain to share this morning, that he would make me able. And so my stomach doesn't feel incredibly well, but I am here. And last night, Rebecca and I went to bed, and I had figured I would probably wake up early and consider what I would preach. And before I laid down, the Lord put some thoughts on my heart, and I took my phone out and was typing my notes and all that. So I have some things that I want to share with you this morning. And some of these thoughts, you know, I had alluded to this on Wednesday night as I was talking, you know, that when I was in Honduras, I had an opportunity to visit with the young people and to do a study with them. And I'd asked them several questions about how you answer someone, you know, when they ask you, why do you believe in God? Why do you, you know, all these things. And in the end, it came down to this one thing, is that I'm unable to prove anything. All I can do is tell you why I believe what I believe and where I'm at. And so, you know, my sermon today, if I were to give a title, it would be, I Am Convinced. And I want to give you, I want to tell you a few things and give you some testimonies that I have and some other things. And I want you to think about this. You know, someone asks you, why is it worth your time to get up on Sunday morning, you know, shave your head, get dressed up, iron your clothes, make something to share in a potluck the night before, to skip the football game, to do whatever it is? Why is it? Why is this important to you? Why is it important to you that you don't act like everybody else? Why is it important to you that you spend time reading the scripture? Why is it important to you? I'll tell you some things for me. I am convinced. I want to start in Jeremiah chapter 1, and I'm going to read this very familiar scripture here, verses 4 and 5. Maybe we'll go with 4 to 7. And then we're going to go to stay in Jeremiah and go to chapter 29. But I'm going to begin here in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. I've read this so many times over this pulpit, it's a touching scripture to me. It means a lot as I consider some of these things. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Let's go to chapter 29, and we're just going to read yet another familiar scripture here. Verse 11. The Lord speaking through Jeremiah and telling the people there who had found themselves in bondage and who were growing tired of it, and the Lord giving them this assurance. Verse 11, He tells the people, and He tells us today, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I am convinced that there is a God who has a plan for us. I am convinced of this because in my life I see things that have been put into motion that I have no control over. You know, I enjoyed my time that I was able to visit our brothers and sisters in Honduras. And, you know, I am convinced that that the efforts and the sacrifice of our sister and her husband who moved down there many years ago, I'm convinced that it was for a purpose. I am convinced that there is a God who has a plan. You know, I looked there and I got an opportunity for several of the days to go in the morning and to talk with the kids as they began school, you know, and it was very comfortable in Zamorano because most of those kids spoke English, and so I was able to have this conversation with everybody. You know, that takes care of them in some ways in the future. It opens up opportunities. Some of the sisters there are able to go and be teachers because they can speak English and Spanish. You know, do we not believe that the Lord knew all of these things? I am convinced that there's a God who has a plan for me, so much so that through some struggle and difficulty that happened with my grandparents in California, and their marriage didn't stay together, but you know, caused my mom to move out here to Arizona to meet my father, to marry and to have my sister and I, so that this day I could have an opportunity to be here. And as it said in the book of Ezra, to have a nail in God's holy place, a piece and a part of His work. I'm convinced that there is a God who has a plan for us. I'm convinced that there is a God who is looking at your life, and He is endeavoring and making efforts to work out all of the important details. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced that there was a God who had a plan for me. You know, right now, my life is in this time of change, but the Lord hasn't forgotten me. I'm convinced that He put me in my previous job for a purpose. And even now that I'm not there, you know, there's a brotherhood that was formed there, and you know, there's opportunities that have been coming to me here and there, ways to make a little bit of money and things like that because of a brotherhood that was built there. I am convinced. I can share that with anybody. Are you convinced that God has a plan for you? How do you tell somebody about it? Do you believe that God has all of those important details worked out? I hope you're convinced. I'm convinced. When I was in down in Honduras and visiting, you know, I enjoyed hearing, you know, as I traveled in Africa, and as I've gone to different places up into Washington and places like that, I really enjoy hearing about the experiences of the people. You know, when I was in Africa, one of the things when I had gone there, I wanted every single minister who was there, I wanted to hear their testimony. And I wrote them all down. They were some amazing experiences. And when I was down in Honduras, you know, I was asking these questions and I wanted to hear about these experiences. And there was a dream that was related to me that I want to just take a moment to rehearse to you. And I'm certain I'm not going to get all of the details of it right, and perhaps Nana and perhaps Sasha, they've heard it and they know it, and if I go way off course, you just throw something at me. But there's a brother there, and he was there. It was, I believe it was the end of a service, and there was, everybody was standing for the closing prayer, and he didn't have his eyes closed for some reason, and as he stood there and this was going on, he had an open vision. And this open vision there from the either the center of the chapel there or from where the pulpit was, he saw, and if I remember rightly, the only way he could describe it was like a pencil, tall and straight and narrow, or at least it had the color of it. I don't know exactly what it was, and I might have missed some of the details on that, but extending straight up. Am I close there? If you guys know it, okay. Good, I can say whatever I want. I don't have anybody fact-checking me. And and this brother began looking at this, and he was examining this thing, and he noted that it was very straight. It was extending all the way up, and it was very narrow. And he was either given to know, or the words were spoken to him that this is the narrow path. And he says, you stay on the straight and narrow path. And as he looked at it in his peripheral vision, he could see things. He could see houses, and he could see fields, and he could see animals and people tending to all of those things. He could see all of that. And he tried to turn to look, tried to turn his head, and he physically could not turn his head. He tried to turn his eyes. He could not turn his eyes. And whether he had said it or whether he was thinking it, he wanted to see what else was there. And the Lord told him, none of that matters. You focus and you stay on this straight and narrow path. I am convinced that we are part of a church, which is the bride of Christ. I am convinced as I look at the scriptures and as I see things, such as we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, you know, I take great comfort in the evidences that I find in scripture that point me to this gospel and its truth and its surety. I am convinced that we are a part of the bride of Christ, and I'm convinced that we are to be focused on it. I want to turn to 1 Nephi chapter 2. And I want to begin perhaps I'll begin in 44 and I'll jump around a little bit. You know, there was a time when we used to read through this vision of Lehi and then also of Nephi frequently. And we've somewhat gotten away from it. But you know, as I was considering this morning, I thought about this, you know, that we see this particular vision coming true in so many ways. It's an encouragement to us. It's a warning to us. And I want to spend a few moments here considering it. Verse 44. I came to pass that I saw a man, that he was dressed in a white robe, and he came and stood before me. And it came to pass that he spake unto me and bade me to follow him. And it came to pass that as I followed him, and after that I followed him, I beheld myself that I was in a dark and dreary waste. And after that I had traveled for the space of many hours in this darkness, I began to pray unto the Lord that he would have mercy on me according to the multitude of his tender mercies. And it came to pass that after I prayed unto the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I go forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and beheld that it was most sweet above all that I had ever before tasted. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. And if we jump, we know that then as he looks around, Lehi sees his family. He sees a river of water that was running along next to the tree. He saw his family. He wanted them to come and partake. Verse 61, and it came to pass that when I saw them, but they would not come unto me and partake of the fruit. And I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river, which led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led by the head of a fountain unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward, that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commenced in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of a rod of iron. And they did press forward through the midst of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after that they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes round about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes round about and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building. And it stood as it were in the air, high above the earth, and it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female, and the manner of their dress was exceeding fine. And they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers at those who had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after that they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them, and they fell away in a forbidden pass and were lost. Now I, Nephi, do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward. They came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press their way forward, continually holding fast to the rod of iron, until they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. And he also saw other multitudes feeling their way towards that great and spacious building. And it came to pass that many were drowned in the depths of the fountain, and many were lost from his view, wandering in strange roads. And great was the multitude that had entered into the strange building. And they that did enter into that building did point the finger of scorn at me, and those that were partaking of the fruit also. But we heeded them not. And these are the words of my father, for as many heeded them had fallen away. You know, this particular story is something that we've read. You've probably, you know, those of us who came into this church through birth and through Sunday school and all that, maybe we've drawn this, maybe we've done studies on it and things like that. You know, I look at this and I recognize that this is we see this played out day after day in the lives of our brothers and sisters, of our family members, and perhaps even in our life. You know, I recognize this, that in my life, I did not have joy until I had taken hold of the Word of God, until I had decided that I was going to walk in His path, and it was then that I was able to taste of His love. It was then that I was able to have joy in my life. And I found that even in times of distress and frustration and difficulty, that I have been able to have profound joy from the Lord, because my Lord has never forgotten me. I'm convinced that the Lord's Word is true, that if we would do all we could to hold on to His Word and to walk in the path that His Son has shown us, that we will have eternal joy, that we will feel the love of the Father, that we will be able to withstand all of the pointing fingers and concerns and things of the world. You know, this brother who had this experience there in Honduras, you know, that was what the Lord was telling him. He was telling him that all these other things that are going on around you, they do not matter. None of them matter. You know, I found this, I'm not the most well-traveled, but you know, everywhere I go, and everywhere I have gone in these different countries, you know, they people look at you and they often make these comments, you know, about, you know, America, we're rich, we have so much. And certainly, you know, if America is our standard, the rest of this world is terribly poor. But you know, I've looked at our church and I've seen, you know, that we have enormously blessed people and not a rich one among us. I don't see any billionaires. There's nobody amongst us who flies in a private jet anywhere or anything like that. But what we have found when we have held on to the Lord's Word is that we have tasted of His love and that we have had peace in our life when times are difficult, that we have had the confidence of the Lord that He will help us through all those things. You know, I am convinced that this gospel is that straight and narrow path. I am convinced that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God and the Bible there as well. And that if we would hold to them, that we will find ourselves with eternal joy. Are you convinced of that? Can you give an example? Can you tell of how you have done things or how you have followed the words of the Lord and you have tasted of His love, that you have been blessed by Him? Are you convinced? Can you share that with somebody else? I am convinced that God answers prayer. You know, on Wednesday night, I shared that testimony. I'll share it again because to me it was such a amazing and immediate answer to prayer. I know some weren't here, so for those of you who were, you can join it with us again. But you know, we got home. I got home from Honduras, and as I said on Wednesday night, every time I go out of town, something breaks at my house. You know, there's been, I know that Andrew has been a frequent help to my wife. You know, whether I'm in Washington, he has to come and put plywood over a broken window or drive my wife to get a new tire or anything like that. You know, something always happens. And so as I was gone in Honduras, you know, every time I was contacting with my wife, I'd ask her, what's broken? Nothing. Nothing's ever broken. Nothing's broken. Except when I got home and got off the airplane and I got a text saying that the air conditioner's not working. And it was getting hotter. And so I got home and did all the things that I knew to do and turned it off thinking it might be frozen over. And you know, that night as we went to bed, Rebecca and I prayed. And I asked the Lord, and she asked the Lord, you know, Lord, you can fix a stupid air conditioner. It means nothing. You can fix this. Or if you're not going to fix it, would you make it so that we can handle whatever it is that it'll cost us or anything like that? And I'm here to tell you, you know, we have had such abundant blessing financially. But you know, the next morning we woke up and turned the air conditioner back on. It was still blowing warm. And so I called our air conditioning guy who has his shop right behind us. And he called me back immediately and said, I'll be over in a second. And we went out. He and I were looking at the air conditioner, and he alluded to the fact that he thought a part on it, which I know is extremely expensive, might not be working. We went inside, and you know, I wasn't even worried about it. I had no fears. You know, we'll handle it. The Lord has blessed us. And I could never, I am convinced that God answers prayer. So I wasn't afraid or concerned. He came in and out a handful of times, and next thing we knew, the air conditioner was blowing cold. He came in, and we sat and we visited for a couple minutes, just about life and all those things. He's such a nice guy. We finished talking for about 10 minutes. He shook my hand, said it was good to see me. I'll talk to you later. And I said, well, what do we owe you? You know what? You're such a good neighbor. There's no charge for this. And he walked out. And not even 12 hours later, God answered our prayer. I'm convinced that we have a God who answers our prayers. But you know, so often I'm convinced that He doesn't do it until we've completely been willing to give up our own will. You know, I wonder about that sometimes in my life. Were there times when I could have had a greater blessing from God if I would have been able to give up my plan B, my backup, whatever it is? You know, how often do we do that? I was reading a study that I put together a couple years ago about how we know when God's speaking to us and what we can do to get in the way of Him doing it and all those things. And you know, one of the things that I find so concerning, and I've done it so many times in my life, is that we put God into a box. You know, we make a deal with Him. Well, Lord, if You bless me in this, I will do X. That's really not giving our whole self to the Lord. And I've found that in my life, that when I have completely thrown out all my own will, God has answered my prayer. I'm convinced that I serve a God who's willing to answer prayer. I'm convinced that our sacrifices for the Lord are worthwhile. I'm convinced of it. I want to turn to Alma chapter 14. And I want to read verses 112 through 117. So we'll read 111 to 117. And I love this scripture. And it tells me a little bit more about what our mindset should be as we go through this life. How we should look at situation and difficulty, what it is that we should do. I am convinced that our sacrifices are worthwhile. Our physical sacrifices, our financial sacrifices. I am convinced of it. Verse 111, now when our hearts were depressed, this is Alma and the sons of Mosiah who were going out into this vicious group of people. And they were concerned. They had this feeling in their heart that they had to go and do something, but you know, it was going to exact a toll from them. Now when our hearts were depressed and we were about to turn back, behold, the Lord comforted us and said, go amongst thy brethren, the Lamanites, and bear with patience thine afflictions, and I will give unto thee success. And now behold, we have come and have been forth among them, and we have been patient in our sufferings, and we have suffered every privation. Yea, we traveled from house to house, relying upon the mercies of the world, and not upon the mercies of the world alone, but upon the mercies of God. And we have entered into their houses and taught them, and we've taught them in their streets, yea, and we've taught them upon their hills. And we have also entered into their temples and their synagogues and taught them. And we have been cast out and mocked and spit upon, smote upon our cheeks. We've been stoned and taken and bound with strong cords and cast into prison. And through the power and wisdom of God, we've been delivered again. We've suffered all manner of afflictions, and all this that perhaps we might be the means of saving some soul. We suppose that our joy would be full if perhaps we could be the means of saving some. And now, behold, can we look forth and see the fruits of our labors? And are they few? Behold, I say unto you, nay, they are many. Yea, and we can witness of their sincerity because of their love towards their brethren and also towards us. You know, I'm convinced that the Lord blesses us when we're willing to sacrifice for Him. I'm here to tell you that when we find ourselves in troubles and difficulties, when we find ourselves in times of distress, you know, that if we are willing to do as these brothers, that they poured out their hearts to the Lord, He's able to take whatever situation that we are in, and He is able to use it for His glory. I'll tell you that never do I feel like I could have a testimony and an ear with those who I've worked with for the last 13 years for the gospel until I went through this situation of losing my job. Never did I have an opportunity to speak to them like I have, to send text messages to some of these guys who I've never heard a clean word out of their mouth and say, "Would you pray with me?" And they willing to pray with me. You know, their sacrifices are worthwhile. You know, those of you who take time to go and to travel, time away from your family and all of that, you know, that was something that I was thinking about. You know, I wonder this. You know, I know, and I haven't traveled a whole lot, but you know, I wonder, you know, my kids missed me, my wife misses me. You know, I wonder. I think about our Jay is throughout Aaron and Erica's childhood, he traveled for the gospel. You know, I wonder this, and I pray and I hope, do my children, are they going to see this sacrifice for the gospel worthwhile? You know, the Lord sees our sacrifices as being worthwhile, and He honors them. He honors when we're willing to give of ourselves, of our time, of our first fruits, of our finances. He honors that. I'm convinced of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. You know, we could certainly choose, probably many of us, a much more comfortable lifestyle than we've chosen to live. And yet, I believe that the Lord honors our sacrifice. And I'm convinced that the effort that we put into following His Word, when it turns us from our human nature, it's worthwhile. The Lord blesses us in it. Now, I think about when I was in Africa, and I've never been as sick as I was in my life. But you know what? It was worth it. I'd do it all over again. To feel that way, but to have the opportunity to preach, you know, I got to go to places that had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from the Church of Christ before. It was worth it, every bit of it. Our sacrifices are worthwhile. Sacrifice of your time to sit and visit with somebody when there's something else that you want to do in your heart, it's worthwhile. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced that we do see the working of the Spirit within our midst. You know, I've heard it said, and I had a terribly distressing and sad conversation with a brother not long ago who told me the Spirit of God is no longer in this church. One of these same brothers who I can remember us kneeling down in prayer as a body and asking the Lord to lift him up, and the Lord did. And I've heard this before, and I believe sometimes we can be fooled into thinking this, that we don't see God working in our midst. And would we like to see it in greater strength? Absolutely. But I am convinced that we see the Spirit of God working in our midst. We would see it greater if our faith and our diligence to His Word were greater. But I want to tell you of a couple of things. And I want to turn to James chapter 5. And I'm just going to read verses 14 and 15. Very familiar scripture here. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Anybody here been blessed through administration? We were in Honduras, and there's a young lady who had just started coming a couple weeks ago with her two sons. This young lady, I don't know how old she is. Maybe mid-20s, grew up an orphan, married another orphan, if I understand it right, had two kids, moved to Zamorano. Husband left her with these two kids, which is difficult enough, but then the nail in the coffin, that's not a bad, good way to say it, but you know, the trump card there is that she has AIDS, and so do her children. And so, be difficult for her to be taken in by a new husband or things like that. She's got a very difficult thing. She's a very sweet girl. And her children, very, very happy. When we were there, I forget what day it was. Maybe it was before a Thursday night service. No, it was on a Sunday. It was last Sunday we were there. Ronnie and I had gone to another local, and Jay and Tommy were there in Zamorano. We got home, and I had lunch with Tommy and Jay, and they said, you know, Jay said, you know, this morning we went and we administered to this young lady. We had been called over there that she was very sick. And of course, we know that AIDS, it's your body lacks an ability to fight infection and all that. They got there to administer to her, and Jay says, you know, the fever coming off of her was so hot, you could feel it. She looked terrible. She couldn't get up. And he says, you know, we administered to her. And he says, you know, Tommy, did you feel it? Tommy says, I did. As we put our hands on her head, you could feel the heat dissipate. When the time they were done, she was cold. And he says, she looked like a new person when we finished administering to her. Well, they sent the kids to church with Tommy and Jay, and later that night, Tommy and Jay went to another local, and Ronnie and I were at church in Zamorano. We finished. Ronnie said, let's go visit her. So we walked around for a little bit. We had some trouble finding where she lived. We finally got there, and the house is all closed up. We find some little girl there, and we said, where's Luis at? She was feeling better, and she got up and she went to go somewhere. She had to go do something. And she couldn't get out of bed earlier that day. You know, do we see the working of the Spirit among us? When you find yourself lamenting the fact that we don't see God working, are you looking for Him to work? When we were there, again, there's a brother who traveled with us almost every day. Really nice guy. His name is Fausto. I just enjoyed him. Of course, I like bees, and he likes to find bees out in the forest and gives them to Ronnie, and so we had a lot to try to talk about and all that. But he travels faithfully with Ronnie, and he's got some issues, and I don't know what all holds him back, but I'm here to tell you that he was there with us on a lot of roads. He opened up some opportunities for us to go and visit his son and his daughter-in-law way up in the mountains, and some in-laws and things like that, that Ronnie hadn't had a chance to go and visit, and so it's good. But you know, we were going to travel to visit his in-laws, and Ronnie was going to go, and they were going to pick up this brother and his wife and a couple of kids. And then to go where we were going to go, they were basically just going to reverse and come right back through past where the missionary house was and then go. And I decided I'd rather not stuff myself into that vehicle any longer than I had to. So I said, well, when you guys get back into town, just let me know. You know, just call Cameron and tell me, and I'll walk out to the highway and meet you. So they were gone for a couple of hours, and I got back. I'm sorry, and I got the phone call, and so I walked out to the highway and met them and got in the vehicle. And as I got in, there was a conversation already going. And Ronnie says, well, Adam, I wonder what you think about this. Well, what's that? And he says, well, Fausto has a question. And I'll tell you that night prior, I had known that we were going to go up into the mountains to visit his family who hadn't heard the gospel yet. And, you know, I didn't really know what it was that I was going to talk about. But I'd asked the Lord, and he had me write down some things. to speak about, and it wasn't really what I wanted to talk about. And among the many things that I was going to talk about, it was about the fact that the Church of Christ, we don't have paid ministry. And of course, that's an issue everywhere that you go. I recognize that. But it was interesting because Ronnie, so now we're in the vehicle together, and Ronnie says, well, Adam, I wonder what you think about this. Well, what do I think about? Well, Fausto asked this question, and he said, why is it not okay to pay your ministry? You know, you pay tithing, why is it not okay to pay your ministry? And I said, you know, that's interesting. He said, you know, that's one of the things the Lord put on my heart to talk about today. And I hadn't considered it, I hadn't touched it the entire time that I was there. You know, in Africa, that was something we talked about a lot, because it's so prevalent, but it hadn't really come up when I was there in Honduras, but I had felt that I needed to talk about that. And so Jay had mentioned a couple of things, and I told him, well, just hold on, because we're going to talk about this at length this afternoon. You know, do we see the working of the Spirit within us? Does He direct us in things that we need to know? You know, by the time we got done that day and we finished up, you know, Fausto said, I understand. I understand why. I understand why we shouldn't pay ministry. I understand all those things. I was listening to a sermon 2 days ago, and a sermon of Brother Dan Lawrence, and he was talking about that he was sitting there on a Sunday morning, and he was prepared to preach. And he said, as he sat down, the Lord told him, you're not preaching that sermon. You're going to preach something else. And this was as the opening song was being sung. And he said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, so he furiously asked the Lord, what do you want me to preach about? And started trying to write notes. And he got up, and the Lord directed him to preach a sermon. Now, in this sermon I was listening to, he asked the question. He said, you know, I don't know why I had to change that. He said, but does anybody know? And, you know, a sister in the audience says, yes. It was because I had been talking to someone, and I had a question I couldn't answer, and your sermon answered it for me. I went back, and I was able to share all those things. Do we see the working of the Spirit within our midst? We do, if we're willing to look, if you're willing to avail yourself of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. You know, 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, save by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these working that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You know, do we see these things? Oh, sure, I would like to see the gift of healing in greater abundance. I would like to. We don't see it perhaps as much as we want, but do we see the word of wisdom given? Knowledge? Do we recognize these things? Are we praying for it? Are we asking how the Lord can manifest Himself in our life? I'm convinced that we see the working of the Spirit within our midst. But I'm also convinced that if we would be greater in our diligence and in our faith, we would see greater things. I'm convinced. I am convinced that God blesses us when we strive to be righteous. We read this morning in the end of our Sunday school service. I want to read this again, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. You don't even need to turn there. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. You know, I have received such abundant and amazing blessings because I have made it an effort. I pay my tithing. I give of my offerings. The Lord does not now, nor has He ever needed my money, but He asked for me to sacrifice some of those things that are most important. I'm here to tell you right now, every dollar is important. But I wouldn't dare I wouldn't dare not give the Lord His due. The first fruits of what I reap and the best that I have to give, because I am convinced that my life, my financial life, has been blessed because of a God who rewards us when we are diligent in following His commandments. And that's just one example of it. But you know, I wonder this. Have you ever had this time in your life where you've been in trouble or there's been some difficult thing before you? Someone was upset or angry or anything like that? You know, I think about this sometimes. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Have you ever seen that work? I've seen it work. Where I've done something, I've upset somebody, there's a difficult situation, and you know, in humility, I give an answer. I apologize. I do all those things. And instead of a cursing, I receive a blessing. Instead of trouble, I receive good. You know, God blesses us when we strive to be righteous. I am convinced of this. Mosiah chapter 1, verse 58. We'll read 56 through 58. The king speaking to his people of those things that he's convinced of, that he's experienced in his life, and he's willing to stand and bear testimony of it before he passes away. And speaking of God, he says, He doth never vary from that which He hath said. You know, the Lord does not change. I'm convinced of that. Wherefore, if you do keep His commandments, He doth bless you and prosper you. You know, to prosper doesn't mean to make you rich. He doesn't say that if we keep His commandments, He blesses us and gives us a jet to fly to Tahiti. He blesses us and He prospers us, that we have sufficient for our needs. And so often I find that not only do we have sufficient for our needs, but also for the needs of those who are around us. In the first place, He hath created you and granted unto you your lives, for which you are indebted unto Him. And secondly, He doth require that you do as He commanded you, for which if you do, He doth immediately bless you. Therefore, He hath paid you. You know, I've received this blessing, this immediate blessing in my life. When I've been faced with a challenge or a trial, a temptation, I can go either way. But when I've chosen to follow the Lord, there has been a blessing that has come to me immediately, oftentimes, right away. And in those times where I've chosen to go the other way, I'll testify to you, and I'm convinced that when we decide not to follow that good word of God, that there is a cursing, there is a detriment that comes to us. And so, you know, these are all the thoughts that I had for this morning. And I don't know that my thoughts here are cohesive or flowed well enough for you, but you know, I wrote all these things down last night as I was thinking about this, of these things that I'm convinced about. That, you know, I feel like the Lord has done so many things for me that I'm willing to stand before the world and tell them, I know there is a God who has a plan for us. I'm convinced of it. No man can take it from me. He has all the important details worked out. You know, He brought my father-in-law from Canada down here with his wife and his young daughter so that someday I could have a wife to be with me through all of these difficult times, to enjoy life together, to worship God together, to be a part of this gospel. I'm convinced that God has a plan for us. We are the church of Christ. There is a straight and a narrow path in front of us that if we grab a hold of it, we will be able to eat of that fruit of love. But like that dream was, you know, that we have to focus on that straight path. Those things that are in our peripheral view, everything else, all of that will be taken care of. We have a life of trouble, but there is deliverance. God answers prayer. I'm convinced of it, but oftentimes it's not until we're willing to throw out all of our own will. You know, if you don't feel like God is answering your prayer, the question that I would have is, why is it? It's not His fault. It may not be the way that you want it to be, but I guarantee you that He has an answer for you. Are you willing to hear it? Or have you put God in a box? Or have you determined what was going to be the end from the beginning? He's the one who gets to do that. Our sacrifices for the Lord are worthwhile. I'm convinced of it. I am convinced that the Lord works, that His Spirit is working in our midst, that His Spirit looks to see where He can be of a benefit, of an encouragement, where He can give us direction, where He can admonish us if we would listen to it. We see gifts of healing. We see the Lord speaking to us. We see Him using the ministry to accomplish His purpose. I'm convinced of it. And I'm convinced that He blesses us when we strive to be righteous. God bless you.